Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko! Yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
There. I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rot.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongWuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Hello.
And Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
You can email us at two addresses to contact us. I'd recommend sending it to both in case one of them messes up. Webmaster@DongWuFang.net. And also podcast@DongWuFang.net. I believe the podcast email is working again, but I'm not 100% sure. Email us with any questions, thoughts, theories, or just to say I listened from this one. All emails are welcome. So today we'll be discussing all the Korra news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. A lot of news and a very awesome trailer to go over. Very in-depth, and that's pretty much the whole podcast. That should take a while. I kind of want to start with all the news that came out of the panel. If you've heard it before, I don't think you'll have a problem hearing it again. It's still somewhat recent. First is, if you go to DongWuFang.net, you can see our San Diego Comic-Con recap post, where you will find links to view and download the trailer. If you download that HD version of the trailer, it's very good quality, and then you could go over the trailer with us frame by frame later in the podcast. Also, you'll see this news that I'm reading over there, and you will see a link to pictures from the panel, which it's the URL starts with the Gadget Fish, and it's a Tumblr link, and there are lots of awesome quality pictures from the panel that we might reference. So now we have a confirmation on the actual title of the show, which is The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra. I guess we can get into this now. We've been over it, but it seems like they're trying to take the brand or the continuity as The Last Airbender, in terms of wrapping it through the original show and now the movie. And I guess they're trying to not necessarily associate it, but in terms of have them all under the same umbrella. They're calling this The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra.
I'm wondering if this is from Mike and Brian or from the Nickelodeon producers.
Well, even some people are saying that it's from the, it's still as a result of James Cameron's Avatar, which I can't see how the movie would block a new show being called Avatar. I don't really see that. I think and I doubt it's from Mike and Brian. It's just almost definitely from Nick. But then again, I guess Mike and Brian could. They didn't seem to want to associate themselves with the movie too much in that Wall Street Journal interview. So I kind of doubt that they would name it The Last Airbender. And it also just makes no sense, considering in the show there are multiple airbenders, which we'll get to. So, of which Korra will be one. So yes,
me wonder if they make another series after this, are they gonna title it The Legend of Korra, then subtitle it something else?
You mean if there's I see what you're saying. Yeah. So here's something kind of confusing from the panel. They only said season, I think, once. But it does seem like the first season of the show will be 12 episodes long, and the second 14. They kind of referred to them as first part and second part. Do you guys agree?
They said the first half, second half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they used the word season once, or one of them did. By the way, at the panel was Mike and Brian, and also co-executive producer Joaquin Dos Santos, and then what was it, supervisor? What line supervisor? I don't remember what it was.
He was like a supervising producer.
Supervising producer, yeah, something like that. Ryu something something, yeah. He's one of the animators, they're like the head animator from South Korea.
Like Ryu Joaquim or something?
No. His name is like, it's like something like that, and then Ryu.
Yeah, so they just call him Ryu and stuff. And they said he's one of the three art directors, along with Brian and Joaquim. So, yeah, Brian was previously the only art director for the original series. They were at the panel, along with the track team. And I think that was it. And then they kind of referenced some other people at one point. Yeah. Somewhat unclear on a lot of information here, so we'll just keep going, I guess. The central location is United Republic. They said grand total of once, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think that's right.
I think they said the United Republic once, and then they just called it Republic City afterwards. So I'm assuming that they're the same thing. They're just like Republic City is an alternate name for United Republic. And they said Republic City was founded by Aang and Zuko, and that's kind of all they said.
What was interesting that I found from the panel was that they mentioned it was kind of a melting pot for different nations, which is what I suspected, but they said that it's the one place where this is true, so they might have different nations here, but elsewhere it might still be separate.
Yeah, they did say one place. That kind of makes sense, though. It's only been 70 years, which is kind of going to be a recurring theme throughout this, a little bit of some questions of how has all this technology advanced this much in only 70 years, but whatever. So, yeah, either Mike or Brian kind of compared it to New York. New York seemed to be one of the inspirations for Republic City, along with Shanghai. And the time period's like all 1920s. That seems to be what they're... It seems to me like they're referencing the 1920s over referencing what might make sense 70 years in the Avatar world, which I guess it's okay. It doesn't have to make all that much sense. Yeah, maybe they progress faster technology wise than us. The new team Avatar, as they called it, consists of Korra and brothers Mako, a firebender named after the voice actor Mako, and Bolin, or they kind of pronounce his name a little
Brolin.
Funky. They said Bolin, right?
No, his nickname's Brolin.
Did they
you
say?
Gotta be up with the times. Dylan's Brolin.
I was talking about at the panel.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Whatever. Obviously, you want to call him Bolin, but I don't know if they pronounce it like that. An earthbender. And Mako is brooding and Zuko-ish, but a little lighter. And Bolin is his younger, goofier brother. And is modeled after the original male earthbender Aang for the guy that became Toph, which doesn't make much sense unless you know that story. But yeah, they wanted Toph to be a dude originally. Not specifically Toph, but Aang's earthbending teacher. So I guess didn't really give us all that much information on Bolin and Mako, but we kind of saw them. They look kind of general. I don't know. Not much to distinguish them. You can find pictures of them at that link at DF I was talking about. Yeah, I don't really have much to say about them.
It's good.
One kind of looks like a duck.
Does this, like, tell us anything more about, like, bending spiritual genetics?
Yes, it does. It's Meg and Brian shoving this in my face, saying, there's no genetics at all, Dylan. Why are you so stupid? But... yeah, you know what? My response is whatever. I'm still going to go with the whole genetics thing. But I'll come up with some funky theory to prove how this makes any sort of sense. I don't even know how this makes spiritual sense, but whatever. I guess they'll explain it. They said they came from this, like, what did they call it? A diverse home or something?
Yeah, I think they said that.
It's something like that. So I hope they show that. That would kind of be interesting. Bolin has a pet red panda black-footed ferret, aka a fire ferret. It's called a fire ferret. Named, I don't know, Pabu? How do you pronounce it?
Something like that.
Pabu. Yeah, whatever. It looks really cute. You look at it that link.
It's pretty adorable.
Yeah, it's like the new Momo, I guess. It's gonna be awesome. Yeah, Korra's own animal thing is a polar bear dog named Naga. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay. I honestly missed them saying Naga at the panel. Did they ever say her name?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so that was just me zoning out. They must have said it like once. Yeah. Basically, it's a dog that looks like a polar bear. That's all you need to know.
She's pretty adorable, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they got kind of lazy. Oh, let's make her sidekick a dog. But yeah, there was if you read the our original art book, then there's a polar bear dog in there kind of thing. One of the original drawings for the show that included this polar bear dog thing, so they're recycling it here, too. They're recycling a lot of things. In terms of the show's plot, anti-benders, revolutionaries, the equalists, or chi blockers, there's like four words for that, four names, are like the villains, and they're like revolting. They use chi bending to stop others from bending.
Now this was interesting to me. I mean, it was obvious, I guess, when I heard it, because I had all these theories about, oh, how are they going to stop people from bending, like, you know, spirit bending or whatever, but chi blocking seems, well, duh. I think it was because, like, when I heard they were anti-bender, I kind of assumed they were anti-martial arts, but not the case.
Ah, that is interesting. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, if you look in the trailer, they're martial arting, oh, yeah. Like, as much as the benders are. So yeah. That's kind of interesting dynamic. So I guess they're just like, I mean, it says it in their name, the equalists. They're probably, their motivation's probably going to be like, well, why can't we bend? You know, that whole type of thing.
Because you're not special.
Yeah, it's lit. I don't know. I hope they make them more interesting motivation than just that.
Mm-hmm.
Something to look forward to, I guess.
I'm hoping, like, yeah, it is more interesting. Like, they're not the only bad guys. Like, the benders really are corrupt on some level in government.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I doubt Mike and Brian are going to make a huge city without making it corrupt in some way.
You know, like, I don't think there's... I think there's one Earthbender in all of Avatar that was not corrupt.
Hmm.
Like, an Earthbender king. Like, every single king, except for Bumi.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they tend to go for that. I don't know. I mean, then again, that could have been the influence of the, like, Aaron Ehas and the other writers, so we don't necessarily know if that's, like, Mike and Brian's preference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd assume it would be, though, because it came up so much. The other interesting thing, they said Toph traveled the world teaching metal bending, and there's now an elite. They kind of say, I think Mike and Brian used the word SWAT team of metal bending police in Republic City.
No, no, they actually, I think they said Toph is traveling the world, so...
They said traveling?
I'm pretty sure.
Ooh.
So...
I kind of want to pause the podcast and go look for that. But we will at some point, and then we'll come back and clarify. But yeah, it's either way, her daughter, which they said her name twice. The first time they said Chief Beifong, and then they referenced her again and said Beifong, so I assume they just haven't came up with her first name yet. Or maybe
her name is Beifong.
Mario.
That's a thought.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be kind of. But yeah, I don't know. Considering she didn't have a first name, she doesn't seem like a major character to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's now chief of metal bending police. You can see her picture at that link I linked to on Don Wufeng. Oh yeah, and of course, when they said Toph's daughter, everyone started shouting, "Who's the daddy?" And they were like, "Yeah, moving on." Kind of interesting, though. Yeah. Thoughts on this Toph thing?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I think anything that perpetuates Toph's genes can only be good for the show.
Yeah.
I wonder if Toph passed down her earthbending, like, style.
Ah, that's true. Because we don't know if she's blind or not. You'd assume she wouldn't be.
Is blindness genetic?
Ooh, yeah, I don't know.
It
can be? Okay. They didn't say she's blind, though. That probably would have been a defining characteristic that they'd mention when introducing her character.
Yeah, and her eyes didn't look very pale, so...
Yeah, but she still could have learned that Southern Lotus style, I guess. Is that what that's called, Toph style?
Southern Praying Mantis.
Southern Praying Mantis, okay, yeah.
And she probably did learn it.
I mean, if she learned from Toph, yeah. I mean, Aang learned it, and he's... not, or he didn't learn it, he learned like the concept, and he's not blind, so I guess it's possible. Then they put up a whole thing that said Aang's descendants, and then the room, Aang and Katara's descendants, the room went all really loud, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, they said Tang won.
Yeah, they said No, they said that, not us. We're not enticing shipping. And Katara have three kids. There's some confusion. I saw some people say that two of them, two daughters, one son. No, that's Tenzin, I believe. I don't think they ever referenced Aang Katara's, other than Tenzin, any of the other two children from Aang Katara. Tenzin's the youngest and the only airbender, they said, I believe. And then that's kind of it. You'd assume...
He has a beard.
He does have a beard. Well, I mean, there's a lot of Tenzin stuff, but you'd assume Katara's dead. I'm not... they didn't say that, though.
I saw a really interesting theory, but I don't know, it's probably wrong. Well, it is wrong. You know, like in The Fortune Teller, they said that, or Aunt Mu said that Katara would die after her great-grandchild is born. Well, yeah. Maybe Tenzin's older siblings, children, had children.
Did they say third great-grandchild?
Yeah, I think they said
great-grandchild. Yeah, so if so, then she'd be dead because there are three already born.
Yeah, they're great-grandchildren.
I gotta watch that episode again. I totally do not remember any of this.
Oh, they're grandchildren. You're right. They're not great-grandchildren. Yeah, yeah. It's a very small part of the fortune teller. It's just played for comedic purposes. But, yes.
Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of... I think I saw what you're talking about.
Yeah, I remember that now. I remember it. Oh, cool.
Yeah, that, well, I guess if that's true, then Katara's still alive. But I really hope she is. We'll see. I don't know. At the same time, I don't know. Not worth going into. If she's in the series, it'd probably be for a small part. Tenzin, and a lot of stuff on Tenzin. That was kind of the majority of the plot they... Not majority, but plurality of the plot details they went into. Tenzin himself has three kids. Milo is the youngest. Jinora is the oldest. Jinora has a voice actress listed. Milo does not. And Ikki, I believe, is the middle child. And we don't have a spelling of her name.
I-K-K-I.
I mean, that's... I don't.
But that's phonetic, so...
Yeah, that's phonetic spelling. That's I just copied that from somewhere I saw it.
Yeah.
And his wife's name is... What?
Pema.
I have it on here.
P-E-M-A.
Pema? I don't even know how to pronounce it. They said things really fast in once, so I had trouble writing some of the stuff down.
That Tumblr link labels it.
Yeah, I think that's where I got it from. So all of them are airbenders, all three, so two girls and Milo, the youngest. Another kid is on the way, his wife is pregnant, and Jinora is described as the bookworm of the group. She kind of has this, there's a picture of her on the thing. I think that's Jinora, or maybe it's Ikki, I don't know. Whatever. there's both of those have pictures on there. I kind of doubt that how major parts, but Jinora is a voice actress listed, so maybe she's kind of important. I don't know. And they live in a sanctuary off the bay of Republic City called Air Temple Island, which is where Korra trains with Tenzin. Quote, Tenzin is the serious kind of guy, but when his kids get all crazy on him, he can be very funny. He's always trying to be the Zen master, but he isn't so good at it sometimes, especially when he loses his patience with the kids. And, yeah.
You know, so, I'm wondering if there's going to be some kind of character development with him. Be like, you know, he's is the only family of airbenders in the world, so he, you know, he'd be nervous to put them in any kind of danger.
That's true. It's like, yeah. So he's the only one. His descendants, the only one, unless of course they found more, but we don't see any indication of that. This kind of gives us a description of Tenzin's personality, but it's still kind of...
Mm-hmm.
It makes him seem like he's mostly serious. Kind of like stereotypical man. I hope he has some Aang in him, though.
Yeah, I'm glad he's not described as, like, this ancient sage guy.
Yeah.
He's good.
I also wonder how much Tenzin will be seeing in the series, because he's not part of Team Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be, like, the Iroh of this...
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see, because it doesn't seem like there's going to be a secondary major character, like the dynamic of Avatar was 100% influenced by Aang being there, but also Zuko, because the episodes were kind of divided up for almost the entire show. So I think that's very interesting, because we don't have an indication of whether it seems like it's just going to follow Korra.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we only see Tenzin when she visits him. Maybe they show his family sometimes, I don't know. Maybe she's close with his family. Kind of makes sense, though, because her spiritual link. Yeah. Not a genetic link to his family, but like a spiritual link.
It's possible that when they were planning the show, they only had 12 episodes, so they couldn't afford to do a side arc.
That's true, I guess. I don't know. You kind of think they'd have free reign to decide how many episodes they wanted. I don't. Maybe not, though. I wonder if they approach Nick with... I wonder how the next 14 got decided, whether they just said, we want to do it, and Nick said okay, or whether they had to present what they had already to Nick. Hmm. I don't know. Aang discovered a new variety of lemur and flying bison. That's kind of a convenient plot line because they just wanted to draw a new lemur and flying bison. You heavily got that impression from
that. That's like something you get in the fanfic, really.
That's true. Yeah, it seems like Brian really just wanted to redesign Appa. And they will have a bigger part in the second season, they said. And
that's one thing I didn't get. Like he didn't like the design of Appa.
Yeah, that annoyed me.
Yeah.
You see, the fan reaction was kind of, I kind of got that sense too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Seems like they were just trying to give off the impression that they're being critical of their own work though.
Mm-hmm.
The track team talked for a little bit. They didn't really say anything. They said, if Brian pitched him the scores, what if in the 1920s the Chinese invented jazz? But he only said that would be half the score, though. He said the other half would be, like, what we saw in Avatar, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're just starting on the score, so that means... I'm not sure. That means they probably have the animation done for the first half, I would think. That's not true. They obviously have some animation done. I don't know about when they're doing the voice acting in this show, because in the original series, something different they did from most animation is that the voice acting was done before the animation.
I heard somewhere that all the voice acting was done months ago.
That kind of sounds familiar. I
think Dante Bosco, like, posted something on Twitter that he was doing voice acting.
Okay. I mean, they also could. That could have been like something like one early episode, and they could be still have to record the later. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good indication of progress anyway, because they could be doing that before the animation as well, in this one.
And I'm guessing voice acting takes a fraction of the time the animation does. So.
Yeah. They're probably I bet they're still sitting on the animation from South Korea right now. But when I say sitting, I mean like waiting. They also said that they're kind of... They also said they don't have a release date, but they're waiting pretty much for them to fall in line in a number of Nick shows that need a premiere. That's what Brian made it sound like. Mm-hmm. So that kind of sounds to me like they're almost done and they can get it ready when they want. That's, of course, for the first season. Second season, they seem to just be starting or released. Or at least on like the beginning stages. So I guess we've already been going over impressions from the news. What stuck out to you guys from this stuff that we got revealed?
I didn't know how little they liked the animation in the first one. Like, that was something that was new. It was like, they said they were looking through the animation and they told themselves we could do a lot better. From the trailer, yeah, they have done a lot better.
Yes, that's, and we'll definitely get to animation. That. Yeah, but like I said, I think Brian was just trying to be self-deprecating, honestly. Mm-hmm. We did know that they got pissed at DR Movie several times in the first series. I remember that, because they dumped DR Movie. They mentioned the name of the new animation studio they're using, but I tried to... It's really tough for me to get the spelling down for what they're saying, and I couldn't... I tried Googling stuff, and I couldn't find it. But it's a new studio, they said, with people from the old studios. Which I assume means old people from JM Animation. But then again, maybe they weren't referencing the specific animation studio they're using. I'm not 100% sure of that part of the process. The animation, they talked about anything else, Jeff?
Nothing from me. Just...
Okay. I guess for me, like, the Tenzin's family part, I didn't know that would be... That's, like, specifically new. like Tenzin and his family. That kind of seems interesting to me. We never really got like a whole... Well, I was about to say we never really got a family dynamic, but then again, we have Zuko's like messed up family from the first series. We never got a functioning family, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think that would be kind of cool to see. I kind of want to see like happy things this in this serious series that's gonna happen. So yeah, you guys said you both watched the panel. Impressions, not necessarily from the news, but from the panel. I mean, you already said that part, Sam.
What stuck out for me?
Yeah, I guess anything that went on in the panel.
Toph's daughter, definitely. I was like, whoa, what? Why is that happening?
Yeah, that's true. It's also something that completely new that we didn't know about.
And then also the what's it called? The pro bending.
Yes, thing. I didn't even mention that. You're right. I forgot to. I wasn't 100% clear on what they meant, so I didn't really write it down.
So it was like, what was it? Basically, like, Earth Rumble, but with bending teams.
Yeah, it seemed like a sport, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I don't think they did a very good job describing it. It's, like, three different types of bending at once, right?
Yeah.
That being everything but airbending.
Yeah.
Right. But he said that they have, like, specific rules for this thing.
Yeah.
It's not just knock them out of the ring.
Yeah, I guess that's a way for them to get action in without having to have Korra fight all these bad guys. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we haven't even been talking about the trailer yet. So let's get into the trailer. So, yeah, go watch it again, guys. Pause the podcast, watch it again, or just go over it with us. So, I think the thing that obviously sticks out to me right when I saw the trailer was just how beautiful the animation was. And really, even now, that's the only thing that, like, sticks out to me clearly. There's, like, two shots of Republic City, which are insane. There's that one of the park in the back of the Republic City that Jeff kind of describes it as, and that's just so, like, one of the most beautiful animation shots I've seen. And that being, like, I'm saying that with the original series having, like, my desktop background is still a background from the Puppet Master. That forest in the Puppet Master is a beautifully animated episode. This, like, some shots we get in here trump even that. It's pretty insane. And then there's another one of a bridge leading up to Republic City with airships in the background. It just looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a mountain behind it. That's something I didn't like expect, like a really huge significant quality jump. And I really hope this is indicative of the entire show and not just like they chose the best shots for the trailer. Yeah, this park, I don't know. That's really awesome. Like, the buildings in the background are all white, and then you have the juxtaposition of the colors of the trees in the front. That's really awesome.
And if you're trying to find it, this is second 36 of the trailer?
Yeah, that's where I'm exit right now. Second 36. Yeah, and then we're going to start. This is just, we're going over general impressions, then we're going to start from the beginning. And so if you have the trailer open, we're going to go pretty much shot by shot. Jeff and Sam, stuff from the trailer that stuck out to you?
For me, this thing was too short, I think. I mean, it was almost 40 seconds shorter than the previous trailers. It was a little bit annoying, but it's still good.
Yeah, I guess I kind of agree with that in the sense, and especially like the content of the trailer. I really like the beginning, and then it goes into all this action stuff, and it's really hard to follow. It's meant to look cool, but Jeff had to break it down in order to even see which scenes go together. And, like, all you wouldn't expect it, but it's really only, like, three major scenes they're showing, just broken up into parts. I don't know. As a fan trying to analyze the trailer, it's a little bit frustrating, but I guess it does look cool. That's all it really, I think, is supposed to do, and I kind of wanted something with, like, plot or dialogue or something like that, I guess, for me. Sam?
Things I noticed about the trailer. I don't know. Let me think.
Just like, what was your reaction when you saw it, I guess?
My reaction? Well, fangirling. That was definitely it. Squee, which is part of fangirling. Flailing. What else? And then I actually, like, calmed down a little bit and watched it again, and I did all that again. Joy, definitely. Like, it feels good to, like, I got nostalgic, actually, for, like, Avatar. Like, it made me feel, like, really, like, it made me happy to see more of Avatar, the world. It just made me feel awesome.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I definitely like seeing more of the world. I don't know if I necessarily felt nostalgic. I guess it was kind of different enough for me. I didn't see too many connections to the original one. I kind of noticed the new things more, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so obviously, like, Scream is much rejoicing once we saw it. So I guess, let's start going through this. Jeff awesomely outlines the trailer, and now we get to go scene by scene. There's actually not as much as I expected in terms of things to analyze. A lot of it's going to be guessing. So just so you know, it's not like we have any advanced knowledge. This is us guessing at what the trailer shows. And the first scene is maybe even one of the most mysterious ones of them all. It shows these three dudes ascend. I shouldn't say dudes. Three guys ascending a snowy mountain. Above, you describe it appears to be Republic City. What gave you that impression, Jeff?
The bright lights and the bay and the mountains.
Bay. I didn't.
I mean, it could be a different location.
It could be, yeah. But I think that's a good guess. I don't know if it looks that big. That's the thing.
Yeah. That's why I say this is high above it. I mean, it could be. This could be like a water tribe, but they didn't have that many lights. I don't know.
Yeah. Like I said, this is definitely one of the more questionable scenes. We don't really know what's going on. And by the way, we're going. If you open it up, we're going through from the beginning. I'm on second three right now. And then they kind of just fades. Not much really to say about it. It's snowing. It kind of appears like it's in maybe Northern Water Tribe. I don't know. But then again, Republic City, we don't know where it is, right?
Well, remember, like, the first primer shot, and this probably has really nothing to do with it. Well, it does have something to do with it. There was, like, a really, like, was the high mountain, like, above the background of the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the first promo art. So it might be that.
Yeah, so we know Republic City's by mountains and cold. Is that safe to say?
Up in the mountains, yeah, probably.
Yeah, so, I mean, then again, there's mountains a lot of places, so we don't necessarily know. Yeah. Probably.
And now that you mention it, all the clothing in there, it looks like they're just for, you know, chilly weather at least.
Okay. My best guess would be Northern Earth Kingdom, I think, towards, And I guess that makes sense. We see mountains. Could just be, there's mountains in the Earth Kingdom, right? Just like running to unknown.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have the best picture of the map in my mind. But yeah.
Maybe it's on Kangaroo Island. Whale Tail Island. Could be on Whale Tail Island.
Yeah, I hope it is. That would be pretty cool. Whale Tail Island South, actually. I remember where that is. I think Kangaroo Island is too. Whatever. Overanalyzing, I guess. Now, okay, next we see an island with a tower, and there's flying bison in the air. Is this Tenzin's island?
I'm guessing so.
He said there's a shot in the trailer of it. But he's also said it's off the bay, so I don't know if we see a bay here.
Yeah, well, it's probably from the bay that we're seeing.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's air bison, and it's an island, so it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we see there's, like, a tower in the middle, and then there's, like, a small pagoda next to it, and then there's a bunch of other buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks like an animal, actually, the island. Like,
maybe it's a lion turtle.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if the lion turtle would be too happy. That's kind of, yeah. Not much to say about that shot. It's like a second long. Okay, next. Now we see, I would say Appa, but it's probably not Appa, flying down into
a place.
Now, my first reaction was to guess that this was like that temple that glowed when Aang went into the Avatar state. Remember that?
Yeah, there's a lot, weren't
there? It was when he was, when he found Monk Gyatso dead, and all those temples started glowing. But yeah, I don't think.
Okay, I don't know. Let me read what you said. Two or three red clad riders are on board a flying bison descending on an ornate water tribe sanctuary. It does look like a water trap thing. Let me rewind a little bit. Wow, this is like split seconds where we get to see who's on it. Does it look like three people?
Yes.
There's one on the front, and then there could be three in the back. I don't know.
Yeah. Probably Team Avatar? I don't know. Flying down into this thing. Yeah, that's like I said. And now we get to a statue.
I actually don't know if Team Avatar would be riding Bison. This could be Tenzin's family.
That is true. We don't. It's not like they have a bison. But then again, why would Tenzin's family be? Yeah. Okay, that's a better guess than Team Avatar. Whatever. Either way, we don't know who it is. Okay, now next is this ship sailing by Statue of Aang, which is... Did they ever say the Statue of Aang's in the Bay of the Republic City?
No, but you can see it.
You can, like, see it. Yeah, it's pretty... We're pretty sure. And the staff is topped by a large circle. That is true. I did not notice that. Let me look again. This is kind of like one of the longer shots. Yeah, what is that circle?
No idea. Could be like a... Could end up being one of those things like in the fire sanctuary, the sun has to hit at a certain angle and something cool happens.
It's like the statue.
Aang will like come to life in the statue.
Kind of like
start
in
walking
the secret entrance into the
Indiana
bottom.
Jones or something.
Yeah. Aang's like Aang has like 1 foot up on something. What is that? Like a tower of part of the building, I guess, that he's standing on top of.
Yeah, it's just like a convenient thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess what maybe a sanctuary under Aang, something like that.
Could be.
Yeah, and then there's a boat sailing by, and then we get a close up of Aang. And
it looks nothing like him.
He's actually
my
got.
My God!
I just noticed he has four fingers.
What?
That's true. He does.
He better have lost the finger between.
I knew something was wrong with his hand. Huh? Four fingers.
Yeah. The question I would have is: this older Aang, or where we saw him in the series?
He looks older. His face,
but not that much older though.
No, yeah, not a whole lot. Because he probably did get a whole lot more famous afterwards. No.
Yeah, maybe. And he's got his little airbending pendant on. And that's the I'm looking at the close up right now, Aang. And then that's it. And then we have another shot. Now this here's a good one. This is what I assume to be a flashback, because we enter the series with Korra already knowing waterbending, firebending, and earthbending. So you would think she's been traveling for a while already. That kind of makes sense. So in this scene we see Korra getting on Naga. It looks to be her parents outside of an igloo in what looks to be the Southern Water Tribe.
Right.
And I would assume this is a flashback. I mean, let me look at it again to see how old Korra is in here. You can't tell. I don't know. It would make sense for them to flashback during the first episode. Something I'll get to probably a little later. All of this could... All of these shots could come from the first episode of the show. There's not all that many scenes they show, and almost all of them make sense very early on. But yeah, Korra boards the thing, and then walks away, and she looks really sad. Aw, Korra.
She's like, LOL, bye. See you later, losers.
That's not what she's like. She's like, aw.
She
could
have been like that.
She's like, yeah, that's true. That would fit her personality more. She's like, aw, I'm leaving home. I'm glad.
She looks so sad.
I'm glad. Yeah, she does look really sad. I have it paused on second 20 right now. I'm glad to see that they're going to show sides of her that is not really aggressive and stuff. I mean, you'd assume they would anyway, and I can't necessarily assume that just from this, but whatever. And then she's thing, and then the thing leaves. And now we have Korra pensively looking, or not necessarily pensively. She sits on the prow.
I'm assuming that. Yeah.
The prow of the same boat which passed the statue looking over United Republic. Let me look at it again.
Mountains.
Yeah, there are mountains. That's definitely Republic City. Yeah, I see why you say it's a boat. I don't necessarily know if we can assume that, but if like, a ghost, going by what I said before, if these are all continuous shots of probably the first episode, then that would make a lot of sense. If she was on that boat that boarded Aang,
mm-hmm.
and now she's looking over. You say, note the lighted dome in the foreground of the city. So if you're looking at this, there's, it's kind of like a line, take, go from Korra to the right, and there's like this green dome on top of this thing. Why did you say note that?
Just because we see it later.
Ah, okay. So
not that it's necessarily important.
Okay, so we'll discuss it when we see it later.
Right.
Okay, so then, yeah, she's looking there, and the camera pans to the left. She could be like, oh, what is this new city? What is this life I'm encountering?
She could be sulking.
Yeah. She could be Korangsting? How are we going to say that one?
Korangsting.
Korangsting.
No, nothing, like, just, I don't think too many puns work with that.
Yeah, that's true. And now we see this shot, which is, I don't know where they would show this.
Maybe it's opening. Like the intro.
Maybe it's all of Korra this time. She does each thing.
Yeah, that makes more sense than what I was going to say. So yeah, it's, she's just like waterbending, and then she throws it into the camera, probably from the opening credits, I guess.
That's so rude, Korra. Why would you throw it at my face? Gosh, why would you do that?
They totally did that with the ones in the other, in the original series.
It's rude.
It's rude, I guess. You say, Jeff, not as smooth as Master Paku's.
Right, and I've heard elsewhere too, like, she doesn't seem to be, doesn't seem to be standard waterbending, and I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, it's probably because she likes firebending so much.
Yeah, and that's something we'll get to. She firebends pretty much all throughout the trailer.
This scene is the only one where she's not firebending, actually.
I would say that it's interesting that she has the type of personality she's described of having, like this aggressive personality, considering she's a waterbender, which is all defensive and stuff, which I guess, I mean, this seems very much like a plot point, which is why she hates that her original element is waterbending or something like that, and she likes firebending, and that's why she firebends all the time. That could be, like, obvious plot point, considering from what we've seen. And now here we get to this awesome, awesome, awesome shot of the bridge. Let me read what you have. Korra overlooks a large bridge in United Republic with Naga. Airships, advanced airships, are visible, as well as a man... Ah, yes, this is very early on in the shot, right? There's a man to the right in this face mask, and it seems like he has a mask on, doesn't it?
A what?
Like a... It seems like he's like a flu mask. I don't know, that's what it looks like to me.
Oh, could be, or it could be just lack of detail, I don't know.
Yeah, it's very hard to assume. Maybe that's just a style. And he's walking, this is to the very right in the very beginning of the shot, and then there's this awesome bridge and these awesome airships and Korra on this weird plateau. And then you see, it's very light shot. They seem to be showing United Republic in a lot of different lights, quote-unquote, I guess. I don't know. It's a lot of different colors associated with it. Maybe this isn't. I don't know. It looks like it is. Yeah, and then the shot goes, and you see a lot of the city, actually. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not much else to say to that. Yeah, and then we see the second awesome shot of the park, which we already kind of discussed.
The trees are beautiful. The
trees are really beautiful. And there's a bridge, and then there's people walking. There's something in the water.
Yeah, there's a white blob.
There's something
in the water.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's
could be a rock, I don't know.
Well, no, it looks like an animal.
Mm. Might be Naga.
Yeah, it looks something like Naga.
Because I see like a little bluish dot.
Yeah, that's true.
Backwards, so that might be Korra watching Naga.
I think it's Naga. She's facing right, and she's got her saddle on her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it looks as big as a polar bear dog. Could be like, I don't know.
I'm glad they're not going for any kind of environmental impacts plot lines, because...
How do you know they're not?
Well, they've got the big park, so I don't know.
Well, that could be like, Aang started this park, and Aang's awesome, so...
Well, no, I mean, like, if they come to a city and it's all rotten and polluted.
Well, you don't know that they're... okay, so something else they're very influenced by Miyazaki. I think there's a very...
Yeah, I see it, definitely.
You can't... I don't think it would be good, it would be wise to assume that they're not going to go for an environmental plotline, considering Miyazaki influences. I don't know. That's just me.
That's true.
But yeah, there is the park behind this, which would indicate that the city is not evil, basically.
Right.
I just want to stare at this picture for a little bit. There's a lot of people walking around on the bridge. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. And then we have another beautiful shot. Ah, yes, you're right. This is the dome we saw earlier. What did you say about this? What appears to be the same dome seen previously from Korra's boat, either defense, shrubbery, or a large crowd of people in the foreground. We see.
Did I say defense shrubbery?
Dense shrubbery.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's defense shrubbery? Is that like bushes with knives in them? Jesus?
That would be awesome. We see street lights on either side.
My God. What is this world?
Whoa. See, you're very observant. I didn't even notice that. You're right. There's literally these, like, just normal street lamps. I don't know. How do they have street lamps? That makes no sense.
Well, they almost had electricity 70 years ago, so. I guess.
I mean, we saw the buildings lit up, right?
Yeah, and they have cars, so they have to have electricity.
Yeah, whatever. They advanced really quickly, I guess.
They have traffic lights.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people. So this could be... What do you guys think this building is?
City Hall, or maybe the police academy, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, it's a city hall, and all those people are there for, like, speech.
Yeah, that would be my instant reaction.
It's true, yeah.
I guess there's a lot of possibilities. These people are not very detailed, by the way. They're like blotches, paint blots. Does it mean anything that this building's not as high as the others if it's City Hall? Does it?
I think it's more ornate than any other building.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's the only building I've seen with gold on it besides the bridge. So I don't know.
That's true. Could just be for a lack of detail, though.
Yeah.
On the other buildings. This, like, these are the important ones. I don't know. Okay, now we have what is most likely a sparring arena. I don't think this is where pro bending takes place, is it?
No, and I don't know. I don't know if you can go by the concept shots, but this is nothing like the concept
shots. That's what I meant. Yeah, I guess this could be anything.
Practice.
And then there's a light comes on for some weird reason. And now we have this weird close-up shot of Korra. You're right, she's in Water Tribe garb, and she scowls.
She's getting angry.
She is getting angry. I think we'll see this face a lot from Korra. And that's it. And now we see some fire. Which is coming...
I love Korra's reaction. The first frame you see of her.
Yeah, she's like... she's like, bring it on. What did you write about this? Oh, Korra punches her way through a fire blast. Yeah, we're sure she's not initiating this.
Nope, not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I mean the fire blast. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's not.
Okay, let me watch it again.
Yeah, she.
This is a good, cool shot anyway. I don't mind watching. It does. I think then she comes up with a little bit of fire on her own on her hands.
Yeah.
Or no, it could just be stopping this weird guy. What clothes does this guy have on? He's wearing. But is this is this the same guy we see a lot of times?
Yeah, you see him a couple times.
Yeah. Okay. So this is probably all one shot, one scene. We just see a bunch. This is what I mean when we see a lot of scenes multiple times. Where are we through this? Okay. Cut to the man she's fighting. Korra grabs his hand to stop his bending. Yeah. So it's the same guy we see a bunch of times. Okay. Next scene. Now this is the part of the trailer where it's all fighting. It's very difficult to figure out what's going on. So there's this guy, Korra's fighting. So then there's someone who appears very quickly. Do you think that's Mako?
Yeah, because if you look, he's got the same red scarf and the black gloves from the poster.
Wow, that's very tough. It's very tough to pin down. Oh, there's two guys, actually, that come by. Wait, let me realize. That could have just been me.
Yeah, there are two.
Yeah, there's four guys in the shot. So the first one that flies by in the front of the screen is Mako, and another one's a pursuer, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Korra's fighting one in the actual, like, thing we're supposed to see.
Yeah.
And it's the, they seem to be in, like, this encirclement of buildings, or it could just be the camera, I guess. The buildings do look like they're curves, though.
Yeah, it's probably a big courtyard or something.
Yeah. And you, I guess we'll discuss when we see these guys more, so we'll come back. And then Korra, like, flings them, and then we get back to this guy before. And he goes, presumably Korra sends him flying through a clock shop. By the way, if I have this shot paused right now, these shops look very intricate. There's, like, one next to it with a bunch of flags. It seems to be more upscale. It could just be the entire city, though.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, comparing it to, like, the lower ring of Ba Sing Se.
Yeah.
And Naga's just standing there watching. The same man, Korra... I forgot to read what you wrote for the last one. The first attacker, this is from the last scene. The first attacker dodges 2 fire blasts from Korra. It is very likely these are revolution. Okay, we'll get to that later. The same man Korra fought at first is thrown through the clock shop window. Korra is seen in the street in front. Let me get to that. And then he goes flashing through the window, and then Korra's there. So yeah, Korra sent him through the window of the clock shop, and then there's lots of clocks.
That's mean.
These clocks look all the same.
All clocks look all the same. Yeah,
I guess this... you'd assume if this is a clock shop, there'd be different types. Never mind. So, I think this shows us about Korra's personality, that she's doesn't necessarily care that she's breaking someone's property. Like, mm-hmm. Even if she's fighting someone, I think Aang would be more hesitant to do that.
She reminds me a lot of Toph, I have to say.
That's true. Although, I don't know if Toph would.
Broke half her house when she found out they were gone.
Yeah, but she was mad at them, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Korra sends him flying through. He's laying there on the ground, kind of cowering. Doesn't seem like the guy puts up much of a fight at them in the beginning. And then Korra walks towards him, and now we're back to... This is a different one, right?
This is like pro-bending.
So now we are...
It's the same arena.
The same sparring circle as before. So this is the same arena as the one where the revolutionaries fought?
No, this is the same arena where that weird light came on.
Okay, let me rewind it and look.
You can see it has, you're right.
Oh, yeah, it's very close in. But there are lines coming out, so there's a divide downwards. So then, boom, this guy dodges something in the foreground. What does he dodge?
It looks like an earthbending attack, and then firebending as well.
This very might be pro-bending. Curious fire-colored sparring uniform. One combatant dodges earthbending and firebending. And the other guy's in the background, not initiating the attacks. I don't know who that guy is. That's shut. Wow, these scenes are seconds long. It's tough to get anything. So now we see Korra. And we're sure this is Korra?
This is Korra.
Okay, yeah, it does look like Korra. And she has one pony... Oh, yeah, so I guess her hair is a ponytail on top and then two things coming down.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be, like, her defining trait.
I hate wearing that hairstyle. Same. It's horrible. Why'd you do that?
I mean, I remember people trying to go... Or at least someone I knew tried to get the Katara little things on.
The hair loopies.
Have you ever...
I'll try that sometime.
I don't think they succeeded. Seems like a hard hairstyle to actually wear.
Now you can, like, it's weird in these shots, you can take away her hair and she looks just like Sokka.
I know.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Maybe she's of similar lineage. I mean, you wouldn't think there are too many genetic lines in the Southern Water Tribe, considering how few people there are. So it kind of makes sense that... I don't know if they were thinking that way. Could have just been that they did... She turned out that way, but yeah. Korra outside in the same outfit we saw just a second ago, right?
Well, she wasn't in the ring.
Yeah, but, well, it's... Yeah, herself, but it's the same outfit as
right.
the guys
yeah,
we saw.
Yeah, same outfit.
So that's interesting because... So this could be pro-bending.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is part of the competition.
Okay, and she fends off multiple firebending attacks. You say she's...
Why is there a ponytail coming out of her helmet?
Maybe there's a hole in the helmet.
That's stupid. Why would they make that? That makes you more vulnerable. They could, like, pull your hair with bending.
I think the point of the game, though, is to just attack with bending.
Set your hair on fire. Come on.
And then she's like, ah, and then she fire punches something. And then she dodges something. Yeah, oh, here's the smirk. I see what you're saying. Yeah, she does look like she's having fun. And then she charges. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting shot. Korra and Naga race towards a bridge as a member of the Metal Bending Corps pursues from there. It's kind of awesome that we can identify that as specifically a Metal Bending SWAT team. But did you make this guess before you saw the panel, by the way?
No, but I'd heard the news.
Oh, yeah. Because in the panel they talk about that whole system of the metal, two metal cords. So let's watch this. This guy jumps from there. Ooh, this guy looks weird. He's kind of dressed up in, I assume it's not metal. He might have a metal guard on his arm, but it's kind of interesting that his shirt is, like, the same color, like, clearly identifying him as the Metal Bending Police. And then he launches, or wait, he doesn't launch anything. We switch scenes. Do we?
Same guy.
Hold on.
It's the same guy. You just turn to a front shot of him.
I saw him deploy the cords a second ago. Why don't I see that now?
What are you seeing right now?
Because it cuts to another chain.
Because it's just really fast. I don't know if I'm pausing it quick enough. Whatever. Yeah, so...
It shows your arrow keys.
Now it's fast forward. Oh, wait. Let me try. Oh, you're right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Ah, there. Okay, yeah. That's really... Wow, that's a last second shot. That's very quick. Very hard to pause it on that. He's deploying two light cords thing from his sleeve. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we change scenes again. And Korra runs through a massive fire attack looking serious or annoyed. Let me see what I think of this. She comes through. I don't know, she kind of looks determined to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is this a different scene, the scene with the guys?
These three guys? I don't know what this is from.
Yeah, this is a tough one. This is the only one we get of this scene, right?
Yeah, pretty sure.
And
we know it's at some point in the competition because she's got that stuff on, but...
Okay, three people in the street look surprised to see Korra.
It's like the Avatar, oh my god!
I don't think these are Mako and Bolin, are they?
Well, no, I thought so before I saw their picture.
Okay, I don't think they are. Note the man Korra attacked at first. You're right, he's the guy on the left. So yeah, this is
gangsters.
This is a continuation of the last scene.
Yeah, and then you pan around to Korra, you see the clocks.
Yeah, and then the screen changes weirdly. And then, now that I'm doing arrow keys, the stigma, here's Korra going, you guys are gonna get butt kicked. She's like, what is she wearing on her waist?
Just her standard stuff.
I guess. Her waist seems very large.
Yeah, it's true.
And her legs seem disproportionately large. I don't know if it could just be this...
She's wearing baggy pants.
Yeah, I guess. That just seems a little straight off.
Katara wore baggy pants.
I mean, do you have the shot on, Sam? Seems weird. I don't know, whatever. And she's looking at them. And then, that's it. Now we get to... Next scene. So you're saying this is Bolin?
Yeah. No, Mako. Yeah,
Mako. Okay, this is Mako fighting what we assume is a revolutionary. Because, and tell me why you think that, Jeff.
Well, because they never bend, ever, in any of these scenes. And you can kind of tell if you frame by frame through one of their later attacks, it looks like they're going for Korra's pressure points.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Fair enough.
And also we have real pictures from the panel that confirm these are revolutionaries.
Okay. Well, there you go. Then it is them.
Their eyes glow.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's creepy.
Okay, let me go back. Now I'm using the arrow key. This is taking forever to go back. Oops, shouldn't have done that. Yeah, so this is... You kind of get a decent shot of Bolin here. If you go really slowly through it, his hair kind of goes upward a little bit. Kind of weird.
And he has a scarf.
Yeah, and so... Or about Mako, excuse me. Yeah, Mako firebends, and then this dude circles around him. And now it cuts to Korra battling one of these dudes. Korra also firebends.
I don't like the animation in the shot.
From her friggin' foot. And why do you say that, Sam?
Because, like, the background is just, like, shaking, and the animation just, like... It's just, you can tell it's on top of it. Like, it doesn't blend.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, that's... I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the guy kind of wraps his foot around her leg to stop her from bending.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. I like Korra's face in this beginning shot. And now we're at... Korra and Naga run through the district of United Republic, causing a wreck between a cable car tram and 1900s era car. We see traffic lights and fire hydrants.
Why?
How are there traffic lights and fire hydrants? First of all, if you pause it...
Why do they need fire hydrants?
If you pause it, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's true. I guess it makes sense, though, if someone wants to bend water, but it could just be, like, a well. And... Yes, yeah, so there's this weird-looking traffic light. This is a really good shot, actually, if you pause it. Korra's like, ooh! And then...
What are you doing,
this
Naga?
Car, yeah, this thing crashes in the background with this other thing. This looks like a cable car, yeah. And there's a fire hydrant there. There's a cable, yeah. I don't know how they
that's
had...
Oh, actually, you're right. Actually, that cable could be in the far background. Being, I don't know if there's any cables overhead.
I think it's a cable car. Looks like it to me. Could just be a car. Yeah, whatever. Either way, two cars crash. Oh, actually, I see what you're saying. I don't know. Yeah, I could see it both ways. And then the thing jumps, and there's a guy with a ponytail. Kind of looks like Kue. Or without the mustache, though. And what's that thing over his head? The mustache guy?
I don't know. Some street light? I don't know.
Yeah, looks weird. And there's also a pipe going down. And it looks like a dumpster, too, to the left of it. All this stuff.
What is all this modernization?
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. Okay, now we see Korra fighting. Is it the same scene?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. It appears he's attempting to go for a... Is this the one you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, she says, you say she looks worried. The headgear could be for breathing underwater. Ah! That's kind of weird. Korra does look some... Yo, you're right, she does look... There's one shot which she looks with her eyebrows arching upward and she looks worried, but you only see one eye. And then she goes more determined. And then she's like, ah! Yeah, it does look like he's G-blocking her. And she tries to firebend, but the guy sticks his arm up. And she's like, ah! And then she tries to kick him or something, and... That's it. And now we're at another scene. Someone in sparring garb with a ponytail, though not Korra, falls into the water pool at the bottom of the sparring circle. Yeah, this is just some dude, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's a female, but she doesn't have any water tribe stuff on.
Okay, is it a female?
She's got a ponytail.
That could be a dude.
Zuko had a ponytail.
Yeah, exactly.
Alright, I guess.
Sokka has a ponytail.
I'm pretty sure this is like a discussion from the show about Sokka's ponytail. Yeah, and then the water splashes, and now we're at another scene. What's this scene? This is Korra, the metal bending course member. So is this a continuation of the metal bending one?
No. I don't think so. Could be the beginning of it. Don't know.
Okay, metal bending member aims a couple of cords at Korra. She dodges and appears to use a boomerang to cut them. There's a broken wall in the background, possibly with someone, the police. Note that this is not the wall Korra threw the firebending wall through earlier. So yeah, this metal bending guy. So you'd assume that they don't know this is the Avatar right now.
Right.
Why are the metal bending... Oh, I guess the police could be evil. But if the police are good, then this is probably before they know Korra's the Avatar. And she dodges it. And then there's another blurry scene. This guy comes at her and she kicks him.
kicks him in the face.
In the face. Ugh. And she's like, whoa. She seems to be surprised by Nagawa. What his movements are. Okay, and next we have a cut back to Korra defending herself from multiple firebenders in a sparring match outside. This is the one we saw before.
Yeah.
We've seen the scene already. And she kind of, whoa, that's kind of cool. She has a little ball of fire that turns into this, like, stream of fire, and she does another one from her other hand. She seems to very easily be able to firebend.
Yeah.
Like, this is, again, it's hard to compare it to her doing anything else, though, because we don't see her doing anything else. And she blocks fire. And now we are at, it's the same scene, but a close-up. And she punches this fire, and now here at the end of the trailer. Korra pulls back a firing attack. The lighting suggests this is from the revolutionary fight. Ooh, really? I missed that. Oh, you're right. Yeah, that's a different scene. Yeah, this is just a random... Wow, I didn't notice her change of clothes. Good job. Yeah, so that's... This, like, one-second shot is probably from a different scene. Who put this trailer together in this way? It's really weird.
Hmm.
And then we have Korra riding on Naga. Through the frozen tundra, and there's this long shot of her riding, and then we see a close-up of her face, which is, like, the best shot we have of her face. And...
Ooh, I'm riding, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
What she looks.
Does this look out of... She's in her waterbending, water tribe outfit, so... Not at Republic City?
Yeah, it could be... I don't know, because she looked sad, and it was at nighttime when she was leaving her home, so maybe this is before that.
Yeah, maybe this is from the very beginning of the show. And then we get the shot of the main villain of the series.
Uma.
Dr. Doom.
Whoever that is. He has a name.
He has a name?
Your name is... Your argument is invalid. His name's Dr. Doom. He looks just like him.
What did you say his name was, Jeff?
It's like... It starts with a U. It's,
did they really say his name at some point?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, wow. I missed that. Uma?
So it starts with a U. There's four letters. I don't know.
Okay. Well, there's this dude. He looks awesome. Okay, he's Dr. Doom. And then we get the logo, which looks really bad, but whatever. It's like three colors in one logo.
Yeah, I'm not liking the coloring on that.
It's got all those, like, hearts on the other side.
If you remove the Nickelodeon, it'll be okay.
I don't like Nick's logo, just saying.
Yeah, it's childish compared with the Legend of Korra logo, which looks really epic, so they don't really work together. And then we get the show. Okay, so here's what makes me say they don't think she's the, she's in her main outfit, but who are these guys?
I think they're just random sparring people.
Okay, but she wasn't, this might be after she takes off and changes back. And he's like, the Avatar, right?
Yeah.
But it's in this weird voice, so...
It's very high-pitched.
I don't know if they made it specific... I don't know if they did a voice... So this makes me seem... Either this is his actual voice from the show, or this is just... They did, like
a cartoony voice.
Yeah, it's like Brian did this for the trailer, I guess. That's what I thought it was at first.
Is this even a regular character? I don't even recognize
it's who Bolin.
It is. Is it Bolin?
Yeah.
Really?
His hair goes backwards. Yeah, he looks like a duck.
Okay, it could be.
His hair goes backwards.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, so they didn't know... What? This confuses me.
It's Bolin.
How do they not know she's the Avatar? Is this another flashback?
No, it sounds like she just arrives and they're like, oh, the Avatar.
See, the way... it makes the impression I got was that they didn't know who it was.
Well... She's been around the world training, so I think everyone generally would know that they got a new avatar about. But they don't have...
Well, if she was, like, fighting in her uniform, this could be before she knew them.
Yeah. This is, like, I think when she first meets them. And then
and then
she meets up, just has to enter the competition, and wins.
Yeah, and then she... Oh, and then she takes him along with her, I guess. Wow. Oh, yeah, and he's talking to Mako. I did not see that at all. So I guess... Either A, the first episode, is from before we... Okay, so maybe she learns waterbending, firebending... No, that doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't she learn firebending and earthbending from the brothers?
No, I think she already knows it.
Yeah.
She's only come to Republic City to find Tenzin.
So why does she get her? Why does she get a team?
It's because she needs a team.
Everybody needs a team.
That's what they said in the panel. Yeah.
There's a theory going around that she actually like wanted to try the pro bending thing just for fun, and then she joined Mako and Bolin's team, and you know.
Yeah, because her personality, I'd see that happening.
I guess, yeah. So I guess that they're not her. I guess she goes. So maybe she leaves home after she's already learned the three elements.
And I'll bet you that scene of her leaving home is when she realizes she's the Avatar and has to go away, and then
see that's the impression I got from it.
Then all of her training is just it's happened. We'll flashback maybe, but you know.
So I guess there's two things that could be a flashback or that could be from the beginning of the show. She leaves home. She's just sad that she's leaving home. She's already learned these. Then she goes and takes part in the pro bending and meets these guys, and then we get to see all the other stuff.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, when did they tell her that she was the Avatar?
Probably.
She's only 17.
It had to be early. Earlier.
Yeah, since,
it had to
you know,
be
like before Aang, the age was 16.
Yeah, so it must be 13 now or younger. Yes. Because she, first of all, they didn't know what age she was. Again, one of them said 16 and the other one was like 17. I think that was Mike and Brian who said that. I get confused because Brian talks all the time, so I have a hard time picking out Mike's voice whenever the few times he does talk. A little bit of a. So yeah, it's yeah. So if one of them thought she was 16, then she definitely had to learn earlier. Yeah, and that's the end of the trailer. So yeah, it's kind of a frustrating trailer from a fan perspective, but it's still really cool. So that actually, that analysis gave us a pretty good picture of what happened. We kind of get a good general idea of the story now. Okay. So yeah, thanks again, Jeff, for outlining that. So we already kind of went over the Tenzin's family thing. Like, so I guess you guys think she like visits them. Do you think that maybe they become her host family? I guess while she's away from home. So yeah, I guess it could be that. It could be her host family. Maybe she visits them. There's got to be some way they're built into the story more than, like, one episode. The Revolution arc. How does that seem to you guys? You guys excited for that?
Oh, yeah.
It's probably going to be the main plot point.
That is true. I hope to get more excited about it. For now, I don't know. Doesn't necessarily excite me as much as it probably should. The bad guy looks really cool, though. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the metal bending police factor into that.
Yeah, they can be.
They might be kind of like the Dai Li, maybe.
Well, that's what they said in the panel. They're kind of like Dai Li.
Well, I think they meant style wise, maybe.
Yeah,
I'm thinking more like motive wise.
Yeah, a lot of the panel they were just talking about art. Mike was like, "I'm bored." But yeah, I think that'll be really interesting. I'm excited, definitely excited for the metal bending police. Possible romances. Not necessarily the best crew for this, but we can try to do over it. Are we going to see the love triangle between the two brothers and Korra?
I want to see love triangles everywhere. Everybody in a love triangle.
Everybody in a love triangle?
All the time. It'll be like a love dodecahedron.
Yeah, that is the TV trope. I don't know if they're going to... That would be the obvious thing to do, I guess. Have them both hitting on Korra.
Of course they're both going to hit on Korra. I mean, like...
What do you mean, of course?
I don't know. I just get this feeling. No, two brothers are kind of in competition with each other all the time.
Yeah, I guess so. I definitely think it would be probably less serious romance type of thing, because Korra is...
More like just, like, flirting and hitting on her.
Yeah, like, with Aang, it was his life. With Korra, it could just be for fun, and I agree, there could be, like, this competition thing between the brothers. So maybe toning down the seriousness of the romance will help get those fan wars avoided.
Hopefully. People are already shipping it, and wars are already starting. And it's ridiculous. Nobody should be shipping it yet.
Yeah, it's how...
Are we going to have teams, or are we going to do phonetics?
I don't want any ships. Let's stop with this. It's going to be... Let's at least see the first episode before we start doing this. I don't even... Yeah, I mean, who else is there to... Have we... Okay, let's... How about this? I want to go through which characters that were listed voices, which we haven't seen yet. So we have seen Korra, we've seen Jinora. So Jinora makes sense that she's voiced by the only child of the voice actors listed, because she's Tenzin's son. We haven't seen Hiroshi Sato, so we don't know who he is yet. We've seen Mako. We don't know who Asami is. Is Lieutenant?
Maybe he's that earthbending, metalbending cop that we saw.
I guess. Well,
I thought Lieutenant was the bad guy.
Yeah, that I had a thought of that too. I don't know though. I don't know if that's.
He could be a corrupt.
Oh,
cop.
Actually, I think that was just an assumption I made because they didn't give him a name.
Yeah.
Could be a good guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And we've seen Bolin and we've seen Tenzin. So there's still a few major characters we probably haven't met yet. Who else to ship with? I guess we'll see. For now, we really only have three characters of the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So how will the old characters be integrated? Oh, this is a good time to stop and check on that Toph thing. Okay, so yeah, we looked it up, and we still don't know. Mike is not very clear in that part of the Toph, when she's having that Toph. So I guess, how are the old characters going to be integrated? Toph, we know that Zuko will have a guy who's somewhat kind of related to him.
Mm.
Is that what that's the Dante Bosco guy's connection to Zuko?
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think we know anything about old characters in this.
Flashbacks.
Other than that, Aang is dead.
And that Korra looks a lot like Sokka.
Yeah.
I guess
we'll just have to see on that. We've kind of speculated on this old character thing already, and we don't know anything new now, so what's the point?
Flashbacks through their children.
Yeah, I really hope so. I want to see a lot of flashbacks.
Should we speculate on who Toph's husband was?
Yes. Who do you guys think?
Well,
I have no idea.
Being the Taka shipper I am.
I know we all wish it was Sokka, but realistically, I don't know.
Realistically, I'm thinking that it's just somebody we don't know.
Realistically, I don't think they know, honestly, the way they avoided
that. Yeah,
they
probably don't.
I think they're just like, oh, it's Toph's daughter. Yeah. Also could be, the Duke. So, I know we're all looking forward to Korra, but how much are you, like, looking forward to Korra?
I don't understand the question.
Okay, so we're all obviously anticipating Korra, considering we've talked about it for an hour now. But we look forward to, like, the return of new seasons of other shows. It's special because it's Avatar, obviously. But are you looking forward to it like it would be a fourth season of Avatar? Are you looking forward to it like you would be, or just a show you're anticipating, like a normal show?
Definitely a fourth season.
What about you, Sam?
I don't know. I'm kind of anticipating it as a new show.
I think you guys possibly didn't.
No.
Wasn't clear. I mean, your level of excitement. Is the level of excitement equal to what it would be for a fourth season of the original series, or what it would be to level of excitement of just a new show premiering that you kind of want to see that you thought looks cool?
Oh, fourth season.
Yeah, fourth season.
I mean, obviously for me it's like more than just a regular show, but it's definitely not equal. It took me, I had to kind of force myself, honestly, to be like really intensely interested, like in detail of the panel. But that being said, once I started, I didn't like have to force myself to go through it frame by frame like that. I enjoyed that, but still, I don't know. I'm still lacking something in terms of maybe it's my doubts about the writing, which I've voiced before, considering it still looks like Mike and Brian are writing everything. Did I talk about this last podcast on how Mike and Brian aren't that great writers?
I think
yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Okay, so just to recap, you may not think so, but if you look back at the episodes they've written, it's somewhat clear that they always defaulted to Aaron, Ihaz, and Tim Hedrick for the important episodes for writing until the finale, and then the finale came through and it wasn't well written. which is, I know, we will be, if we have more podcasts, we're going to, one of the things I want to do is talk about the finale again, but finale was epic because of the action and stuff and the direction and the music, not because of the writing. So, Mike and Brian, I wish they brought in writers. I hope they do for the second season, if they're still that early in development. I guess I'll still find it cool if the writing is, if the show defaults to action like many of Mike and Brian's episodes do, like the drill and the finale. They default to action over its story, but it'll still be awesome, but I wish that we could see the quality of writing from the first series. Do you think we got any hints as to when it would air? We know something said mid-2012, right?
Mid to late, but I didn't hear anything at all in the panel.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're definitely still working on it means probably, I mean, it could be a year from now.
Oh,
yeah. That kind of sucks.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know if I expect any more info anytime soon. But whatever, I guess. We'll get there eventually. I mean, obviously the fans are looking forward to it. I've had this poll on Dongufang for about a year now, which says, rate your excitement for the new series. And 2,169 people voted, and 78.7% of them say 10 out of 10. So obviously we're excited for this. And I had a new poll up, too, about how does the new Korra trailer make you feel about the show? And 58% of people said much more excited, and 25% of people say was already insanely excited. So it's only 40 people, but still. So it seems like the trailer was effective in terms of getting people amped up, even if it wasn't necessarily the best. And yeah, this panel just raises my anticipation, I guess. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything I've left out? Of anything happened in the panel or any Korra stuff in general you guys want to talk about?
Korra the Explorer.
Is that a thing?
No. Well, kind of.
Is it?
It's just something I thought about.
Okay.
I mean, I redid the Korra theme, the Korra theme song, include Korra.
Did you upload it somewhere?
It's not. I posted it on KF.
Okay, I want to see it. So, yeah. Oh, okay, anything else? Jeff?
Nope.
Okay. So I think that brings us to the end. Kind of an abrupt ending, but oh well. I have been your main host for today. Co-hosts have been Sam and Jeff. Jeff outlined the trailer for this podcast. Kevin and Jake, technical director. Musical remixes by Luke Tripp. I edit. Dongufang is owned by Jake. Email us at podcast@dongufang.net and also webmaster@dongufang.net.
And I just showed up. That's all I did.
I mean, those are just the general credits, Sam. I do those all the time. I added the one on Jeff, but that's all. You didn't just show up, Sam. You're a very important part of this podcast, okay?
Oh yeah, if I wasn't here, you'd be just talking to Jeff.
That would be boring, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like me and Mel during the movie podcast.
Yeah, that was kind of boring.
Hey, well, it wasn't the best subject. So thanks for listening, guys. Send me emails. Just say I listened. I did forget to read an email that we got. Okay, well, we got an email about, like, the plot of what he thought the plot of Korra would be, but no, that was before the panel, so. Kind of.
Your argument is invalid.
Yeah. I'm sorry to say. Anyway, thanks, Nick, for sending. I had two emails, actually. A lot of people are saying I listened and stuff, so that's great. Also, send questions, theories. You have a theory about something? We'll read it, hopefully, if we have more podcasts. But I'll get into that after the next podcast. Our next podcast will be about The Lost Adventures, the book that came out, the comic book. Not sure when that'll be out. Hopefully soon. If we record it soon, then it'll be next week. And thanks for listening, guys. And I think that's it. So, what are we gonna end on today?
For the Explorer?
No, we're not.
Yeah, core, the Explorer.
How about something that, yeah, I'm not thinking of anything.
Team Bolin.
Brolin.
Brolin.
Brolin, yeah.
This
is gonna take a while, jeez.
Something not thin. Whatever. We usually do that anyway. Yeah, I'm not thinking of anything. Come on, guys.
Come
on. Pick me up.
Well, I already made like 2 suggestions.
Yeah, so did I.
You don't like anything, so. Why don't you suggest something?
What I think we ended on like Korra last time, right? That was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, fine.
We had to do it again because it was too lame.
What did we end up ending on?
I can't remember.
I don't even remember either.
I'm not gonna download the podcast and find out.
Yeah, I'll look this back. Yeah, fine. What were you guys' suggestions? Brolin, what did you say, Jeff?
I said Team Bolin.
Why Team Shipping. Bolin? Shipping. Shipping. Oh, that's right. Why are you shipping Team Bolin already? Jeez.
I have no idea. I just
came up. How about Beifong?
Okay, there we go. That's a good one, actually. Okay, let's end on Beifong. Thanks, guys, for listening. 1, 2, 3. Beifong.
Beifong. Woo!